lyrics are.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Am I on?
You are on. Hello and welcome to the Gamers Haven podcast. Welcome back to our loyal fan that's out there. Sound like a broken record, but it's been a little while since we actually got to sit down and record with various real life things coming up here and there.
Oh yeah, you know, CantCon and everything else that's going on with it.
And we're not doing anything we talked about last time.
That's true, yes. Well, I don't think we actually came out and said we were going to be doing that world creation thing yet, but I think we still are going to do it.
Yeah, at some point.
It's just we're sort of putting it on the back burner right now for various reasons and whatnot, just because, well, we got a lot going on.
just a little.
As of the recording of this, is being recorded on Friday, June 18th, and which, of course, puts us about three weeks away from CantCon and 7 weeks away from Gen Con. So things are starting to come together for that, and it's I've got a giant to-do list and all that crazy stuff going on and lots of things happening right now, so we apologize for any delays in various things getting out there. I know there's going to be like little gluts here and there of actual play going out, so there was a huge one just a few days ago. There probably will be another huge one probably another 2 weeks maybe, so we'll see. That all being said, for those of our listeners that do listen to the actual play stuff, the Deadlands game is probably not going to be coming back until after CantCon, just due to all various things going on. So,
with any luck, the standard Saturday game that we do biweekly,
mm-hmm.
Well, with any luck, we'll have a synopsis done probably shortly after CantCon. It'll be posted, and the two games that we've got so far will be posted shortly thereafter.
Yeah, for
the
synopsis, it's a Pathfinder game that Nathan is running. So,
well,
it's the one we've talked about before.
The thing is what I'm going to try to do for the synopsis is I want everybody to get together and talk about the things they've done in the previous two books, because we've been playing for 7 years.
It'll be good to get us all together so we can then play off of our own memories, because I know I don't remember
a lot
of stuff, and people will talk about things and I'll remember, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, so that'll be a good idea, because otherwise you're just going to get my perspective, and my perspective is skewed because I'm biased.
Yes, Nathan's wife. Say hello to our faithful listener.
Hello, faithful listener. I'm Nathan's wife.
There we go.
Her name is Rebecca.
Or Becca, as we all call her.
Yeah, we all call her Becca.
Yes, she is the prize mistress for CantCon.
Command me my mistress.
Whoa, put your pants back on, man. Come on. Now, Jeremy, do we know when Kingdom of Thoth is going to be going back again? Or
Kingdom of Thoth?
Trying to go...
Next week.
Next week. Okay, cool.
Next week? Next week for Kingdom of Thoth? Next week is our Saturday game.
Hmm. All right, well, I'll have to figure something out then, won't I? All right, well, I'll deal with that later. I've got CantCon on the head right now, so. This has been a nice long intro. Really not much else going on. Today on the show, we're going to make an attempt to talk a bit about sources of inspiration for your game, both, I would say, as a player, as a GM, all that stuff, so. And then we'll, of course, get into our lovely three-parter, and then we've got a good host of random encounters to go over, because I kind of let them pile up again. So we will be back right after this.
Yeah.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we are back, and as I said in the intro, today on the show we're talking a bit about sources of inspiration. You know, basically what gets our creative juices flowing. And I think there's no real easy answer to it. I think it's
it's all preferential.
Yeah, it's all preferential. Sort of what mood you're in at the time, what game you're going to run too.
That is accurate. Depending on the setting, the time period, and the players, really.
Yeah, I get a lot of my influence from movies in general because I'm a huge movie buff. But
I get most of mine from books, but yeah. That's because I prefer to read rather than watch.
Well, there you go. But you also love movies.
I do. I do enjoy movies. But the thing is if I have to make a choice between reading the book on something or watching the movie, I'll read the book.
Well, that's cool. But I think the nice thing about really source of inspiration out there is. The nice thing about them is it's sort of, like I said, it goes into what game you're going to run. That's really what I would say. Like, I doubt I would take a lot of inspiration from, you know, Last Action Hero for a game of Call of Cthulhu or anything like that. That would be interesting. But
a Last Action Hero version of Call of Cthulhu?
That would be bloody and nasty.
It's pulp. That would be pulp Cthulhu.
Really? The thing that always sort of got me, and I've just only recently sort of gotten over it, is it's like, well, I like this movie, but I don't want to steal the ideas from it. Hell with that. Steal away. That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares? Make it your own, you know, steal it and see what happens, see what your players do with the terrorists in Nakatomi Plaza. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe one of them would turn
Die Hard into a Call of Cthulhu type of thing if you're trapped in an office building
full of cultists who want to sacrifice everybody in the office
plaza.
They're
not terrorists, they're cultists. Yeah. There you go.
Sacrificing all the people in the building to some elder god to bring back the rise of whatever to destroy the world.
They want
to
get something out of the vault, you know, obviously.
Some ancient
item or tome or something. Yeah, say, hey, I think we got an idea here.
Yeah.
But
that would be for modern Call of Cthulhu, which I don't run.
Well, you know, you could easily set that thing back in the 1920s. Easily. I mean, it wouldn't be, you know,
it'd have to
huge
be someplace
high-rise
like,
building. But
it'd have
I mean,
to be someplace
be
like
New
York.
York. Yeah.
It'd have to be
but
in
it
New
could
York.
Happen. You know, it's just you got gangsters with Tommy guns. And yeah. Or you have dark cultists from the subcontinent or whatever, you know.
Subcontinent.
Yeah, I mean, you could go pulp with it. It'd be pretty
yeah.
funny.
Well, most of my Call of Cthulhu games are more pulp than horror because I've had complaints. So... Yeah, and in the interest of not giving players nightmares, I will go more pulp. And it makes it really easy when you have players that can actually laugh off things because it helps lighten the mood.
I think you can steal plots and steal things shamelessly at this point. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, like I said, I used to have an issue with that. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And now I'm like, screw it.
I've found the older I've gotten and the less time I actually have to put into actually making a plot for something, the more inclined I am to steal it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
when you average, I don't know about you, but I average usually probably per week of gaming material, I probably averaged about 12 hours of input.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, due to the fact that I'm not working regularly right now due to all my medical stuff, I've had time in buckets to spare. But the thing is when I started working on it back when I was working, it was like, yeah, and I'm going to steal parts of this from Dragon Slayer and parts of this from Doctor Who. It's like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to put this all in a big, huge bucket.
And we're talking, you know, movies, TV, comic books, books, you know, all that stuff is just, I think, great fair game, especially lately with some – writing, especially on television, has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And
the thing is you've got 31 plots to pull from.
Yeah.
That's all there is. There's only 31 plots mm-hmm. in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. And you can get inspiration from, like, from the most random of places. I ran a, it was a Spirit of the Century, not Spirit of the Century, excuse me, Silver Age Sentinels. And if you guys were in it, it was the Kansas City one, the Nova City
mm-hmm.
adventure one, where you guys were the superhero team formed by the... you were in it briefly because you had Stitch was in it.
That was Mutants and Masterminds.
No, it transferred over, I believe, or it might have started off as a Mutants.
It started. It's no. It started.
Okay, so
it started.
Mutants
it started.
Yeah.
It started off. You gave us the rules for Silver Red Sentinels, and then Mutants and Masterminds came out, and you went, "We're changing."
It's like, oh, Chuck. Alrighty,
everybody, use this book, and
yeah,
we did.
Yeah, because you had the Rock. Mm-hmm. That was that game.
Yeah,
okay.
The janitor.
Construction worker.
Mm-hmm.
The idiot construction worker.
Yeah.
And the
alien sealed the planet with the killer hats.
Yes, that actually is the adventure I'm talking about. I had an adventure where alien hats showed up in Eudora, Kansas, and started taking over people's minds.
And nobody noticed or cared.
Yes, you guys had to go out and deal with it. It was rather amusing. But that was all actually taken entirely from a Darkwing Duck episode.
Wow.
With mind controlling hats,
I remember that episode
with Flarg the Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you can take stuff from cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of great stuff out there. I think,
yeah.
Whether it be short stories, novels, etc., like that. I mean, that's where I get a lot of my sources of inspiration. And you know, I mean, the whole Deadlands thing sort of came around for me as a. Gosh, I think it was, of course, God, that was 6-7 years ago now when I started that whole thing was, I think I was just learning a bit about the Mayan...
calendar.
Mayan calendar, Mayan mythology, and that sort of just came
that was that when you started, that was back when people really started pushing heavily on the 2012 apocalypse thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... Being curious about it, we were all looking into it, going, "Yeah, this is a bunch of bunk."
Yeah, we've talked about it before. There's the whole Lizardmen conspiracy thing. It's great for a source of inspiration for
anything. Works great.
Game.
It works great for Call of Cthulhu.
It works great for anything. I could use it for a superheroes game.
Yeah, but it works great for Call of Cthulhu because they have the Serpent Men.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, they aren't really lizards; they're serpents. You know. And it just
sure. And really, we're talking Call of Cthulhu. Really, a lot of things. If you have these lizard people, do they really specifically need to be something directly called out of the Call of Cthulhu books?
Oh God, no.
No, you can just fuck around and be like, yeah. But the you can entirely just say yeah, and their eyes, you know, blink sideways, and they're shapeshifters. I don't care if there's anything like that that's not in any of the Call of Cthulhu books. There is now.
Actually, I think there are creatures that do that in the shape-shifting part. I don't know about the sideways blinking eyes, but I always thought that was cool. But,
yeah. I mean, ultimately, make your game your own, you know, and if you go against any kind of conventions,
who cares?
Go right ahead, man.
It's your game.
Yeah.
You know what? The one of the things I've always liked, I don't remember what game rulebook it was in, but it states in the beginning, like the first 10 pages, it's... Give a list of various different things, and it says at the end, "Oh, and by the way, if you don't like the rule book, chuck it out the window, throw it in a wood chipper. Who cares? Make the rules work the way you want them to work. We just lay a basis down. You
so,
use
I mean,
what
if you
want.
Come up with an idea you want to use, and if you want to use it for D&D, but there's not a monster in the monster manual that fits
make
what
it.
You want, who cares?
Make it up.
Make it up. You know, make it up as you go along, and maybe the creature has some random ability that shows up because you think it should have it. Who cares? You know, as long as you're fair about it, as long as it's not like, okay, it shows up and eats 12 members of the party, but there's only 10. Well, I'll roll up new characters. You know, as long as you balance it.
It's not Call of Cthulhu where when you run into the monster,
but,
it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could take inspiration from anywhere. There's great mythologies out there. We've talked a bit about you know, Greek mythology and you know, obviously Mayan mythology at this point too.
Any of Homer's works
mm-hmm.
are
yeah,
great.
You were just
for
mentioning
pulling,
the Iliad.
Yeah, the Iliad, the Odyssey, there's the Aeneid. Any of those are great because it's like man versus monster. All of them are like that.
Oh yeah.
Jason and a good movie based off of that.
Jason and the Argonauts.
Which consequently Ted had never seen.
Really?
Yeah, really. And I sit him down and watch. He's like, this is great. I'm like, yeah, it's based off of one of the greatest fiction stories mm-hmm. ever written.
Oh, it's an entirely historically inaccurate, but
yeah,
it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, you could...
I can't believe they're planning on remaking
find some obscure
that.
Movies out there. They remake Clash of the Titans. You can find some obscure movies out there, really. And man, I guarantee you that there are movies out there that each of us has seen that the other hasn't, that tons of other people haven't seen. You know what I mean? There's stuff out there you go like, I'm going to steal from this movie, and people aren't going to know anything.
Yeah, I've been watching some horrible stinkers on Netflix lately.
Even if you watch some like MST3K movies, you know, it's yeah. like some the of those, yeah, those are terrible movies, but if you break it down to the bare essentials, sometimes you can get some entertaining little adventure out of that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a lot you can do with it. Jeremy?
Movies, books, video games.
What have you drawn inspiration from in the past as far as anything
movies,
specific?
Books, video games.
You're actually very quiet this episode.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes I'm quiet. Maybe I'm deep thinking.
He is. He's deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
Could be.
Jeremy.
So we have to wait 300,000 years for you to generate a response?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. I get inspiration from whatever. If I see something and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use it.
I got inspiration.
Don't fight the inspiration bug, too. If it bites you and you need to write something down, I don't care if you need to, you know, write it down on a cocktail napkin or write it under your arm.
Yeah, I actually got inspiration. We went outside. I hung up some bells, and I got inspiration for a new monster
mm-hmm.
Because hanging off the ceiling was a praying mantis that was aggressively trying to attack my hand as I was hanging the bells. You know, so it's like... Great. That would be an awesome monster, a swarm of praying mantis. Not giant praying mantis, but little praying mantis. You know, hard to kill things attacking you guys. It's like
vicious
hey.
Little monsters.
Yeah.
I told you I saw one of those on my car. It was sitting on my car once. It was
like that long?
Sucker was about, you know, 8 inches long. I was like, you can stay on the car. And it yeah. sort of looked at me like, what? Do something. I'm like, okay, we will call you Earl and you can stay there.
And it goes, that's what I thought.
That's right. Now keep walking.
You saw the one I caught in the backyard, didn't you?
Yes. I believe you took a picture of it.
Yeah, I took a picture of it. It was 10.5 inches long. It's the largest praying mantis I've ever
They're
seen.
Ginormous. Yeah. They can be ginormous little bastards. Yeah.
What's really cool is that, and I swear to God, at some point in time, I'm going to figure out how to use them. I'm going to put giant toads in my game. And we've got, instead of
giant frogs?
Yeah, they're not... Frogs are water-based. They're amphibious.
We have giant frogs.
Toads are terrestrial.
I don't know what you're talking about. We have giant frogs, Jeremy. Frogs?
Yeah.
Frogs. No, not toads.
Yeah. Mine's a giant toad.
I had a whole area of giant frogs.
Zargon, Lord of Chickens. You could... Mm-hmm. Source of inspiration, you know? I mean, a dude that runs around summoning chickens
yeah,
for something.
Where in the world did you get the impetus for that?
In your D&D game, you know?
HeroQuest? Oh, that's right. There was a guy named Sargon in there, wasn't he?
The GM was Sargon.
Yeah.
Yes, the Archwizard.
Well,
dude.
There was also the expansion pack was Return of Sargon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the various cool. expansion packs.
Yeah, there was like four or five of those. That's a board game they need to re-release.
And you've talked about it before, Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia is great for
you
all
You can
of
hunt
stuff.
Around on there and find great
or just
stuff
news
to
programs.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit down and watch C-SPAN for... Okay, that would be a boring game.
That would be the worst game ever because it would all be all about oil spills.
No, no, it's not Rifts, so it wouldn't be the worst.
If you just take a few moments and listen to all the crazy stuff in the world, you can come up with some pretty interesting stuff.
Like the fact in Africa right now that there are villages that are killing people, saying that their children or their wives are witches because they want the land that they own. Yeah.
Well, that just happened normally.
There's an adventure seed right there, you know. You could plop that down. I could plop that down into Deadlands, easy.
Yeah, I could see a really cool setting for that in Kenya and mm-hmm. Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, totally. The whole rip from the headlines.
They also kill albinos because they think they're magical
mm-hmm.
in some particular areas, which is sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big history fan, so I mean, I think history is a great source of inspiration for a lot of stuff. I mean, you can, there are some great stories from history that you can look at. Great characters that you can find from,
like the Rush,
the Civil War, or from,
what was the name of that ship? Something Rush. It was a ship that sailed into the harbor in I think it was London, off the Thames. And the ship was completely empty.
It was the Mary Celeste.
Well, the Mary Celeste was found in the open ocean. No, this, I can't remember the name of the ship. This ship sailed into the harbor and beached itself in the harbor. And it was nobody on board. It was still had all the supplies on it. The Mary Celeste, what happened was, is there was a rope hanging off the back. They think what happened was is that there was a chemical spill of some sort, so they abandoned ship into a raft attached by a rope to the ship until the chemicals dissipated and the rope snapped and they were
straight away. There's tons of cool stuff you could do. With, you know, it's like you come
those
across...
Those ships have some really cool ideas.
Oh,
what caused the ship to make it to the harbor and crash? What happened to the crew?
Yeah. Stuff like that, or like anything, go to your local library and look around and like they have those sections, you know, for unsolved mysteries and you know, I mean, those, there's tons of corny, you know, like coffee table books out there for, you know, it's like Mysteries of the Unexplained or something like that. One of those books is going to be rife with cool ideas, you know, especially as gamers. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, let's put someone through this. This would make a great 1920s serial.
And frogs rain from the sky. Sweet.
Yeah, that's happened on several occasions in reality.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, you know, this great unexplained stuff that's out there, and you could totally latch onto that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's great sources of inspiration. So.
And, you know, the cool thing is, it's like things like, and frogs rain from the sky. And Call It Through, the reason the frogs rain from the sky is they weren't frogs. They were the spawn of deep ones that was washed up with an explosion into the air, but they were so small that they stayed there until they started to get larger, and then they fell from the clouds, and the clouds lost their thickness.
Oh, yeah. You could totally have some fun with that. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, I remember a legend of I believe it was in Shanghai, where trout is spraying from the sky.
Yeah, baby trout.
And it was just like, hey, look, trout. It was like literally out of a cloudless sky.
Vladivostok? Mm-hmm. Was it Vladivostok where it rained rocks?
Mm-hmm. Stuff like this happens all the time. It's very cool. I mean, and then there's the major events in history you can look at. You know, like the Tunguska explosion.
Oh, the Tunguska.
That's very cool.
They've identified what caused that, by the way.
Yeah, they
think.
Yes.
Oh, they're pretty positive now. They're pretty sure it was an asteroid that broke up and exploded over. Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, I think, is rife with great sources of inspiration, I think. Especially, you know, in a superhero game also. I mean, like, you could have some fun with that stuff. But those would be my recommendations. You know, it's like, go check out some obscure movies. Or I really like the idea of going to your library, because, hey, it's free. Go to your library and check out some of those you know, corny books, you know.
Yeah, because some of those books
or go to your library sale when the library, you know, gets rid of a bunch of books. You'll find something for a buck that's like, okay.
Yeah, like that. Did I ever show you that A&E's In Search Of book that I have that has all those various different things? I was looking at it going, you know, someday I'm going to do a Call of Cthulhu game where the monster is Bigfoot just to see what it does to the people.
Yeah, you can have some fun with it, I think, and you know, it's something that even something like that is something that is so sort of cliched that it's unexpected.
Yeah,
and if you do it right, it can be very creative and very cool.
Yeah,
you know, don't do it like, you know, some movies do. It's like, oh, Aliens, is that the best you got? But
it's like, up to this point, you have no idea what's going on, and it gets to go, Aliens, really?
Yeah. Yeah, what was that movie with the big turtle in the sky at the vacuums and, like, sucking people up? I can't remember now.
The big turtle in the sky? You're talking about the Forgotten? When they're driving, and you watch the car just slam into the side of the car. You watch it coming, and you're like, what is that? Boom!
Uh-huh.
That was cool. That was the only cool scene in that whole movie.
And then aliens start vacuuming people up the street. Now. You're like, what
you
the
get
hell?
Inspiration just from... not just the corny movies they put on sci-fi, but some of the other movies they put on sci-fi. Like, I watched a movie called Broken, which was about like the people on the other side of the mirror,
mm-hmm.
and how they would break out and basically kill you and then replace you.
Well, that sounds like that horrible, horrible movie Pulse.
I don't know what Pulse is. But Broken was pretty creepy. It was English.
Creepy it was English?
I don't know if it was actually English, but they were all English in it. And it just, you know, proved to me that mirrors are evil.
Well, we already knew that, really.
Yeah.
Anyone who's looked into a mirror knows they're evil.
Yeah, because when you look away and look back, you really notice that usually something's going on that shouldn't be going on in that mirror. And now every listener, all four of them, are going to go into the mirror and look at the mirror and look away.
Smashing their mirrors, yes.
Then look back real quick and see things.
I think it's a good thing at this
point. Well, I mean, if you think about it, science will say, well, okay, so light reflects off of this, and there's this image, and blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not like gravity. Gravity makes sense. The mirror thing...
doesn't make sense.
You can't quite prove that there isn't somebody on the other side. And when you look away, it's still looking at you. Or one day you'll wake up and there'll be another Ethan just hanging over you with this cold blank stare. And you'll be like, oh great, the mirror Ethan's going to murder me. The mirror Jeremy probably just like drink soda or something. So
drink your soda and watch your TV.
Yeah, and I'll be like, hey, it's my
get
soda.
Out of my house. And he's going to look at you and go,
I highly recommend having something to write with and something to write on handy.
I would stab him with the mirror.
In most places.
Exactly.
Because you never know when that inspiration is going to strike.
Definitely a good idea.
You know, I mean, just go spend, you know, 20 cents on one of those small memo pads and get a small pen and you'll be fine.
Or just go watch people. You can get inspiration for NPCs from people.
Yeah, just go to a campus.
I can't stress enough. I mean, I find one thing that helps sometimes creatively is if you go out of your zone as far as like
comfort stores and stuff.
Like go out of your house and go to a library or go someplace that
it's a someplace public place.
Else. You go not necessarily public places. Go someplace else to work on a game or work on an idea, because a lot of times that change in atmosphere or that change in environment will jog a few things too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you get sort of in your room or in, you know,
you're comfortable.
Yeah, it's your comfort. You're comfortable there, and if you get out of there, your different parts of your brain start working. And sometimes that's a good. I mean, go to your local Borders. Go to the library. Go, you know.
I think
go grab a soda at McDonald's and just start writing. You know.
I think the best idea I've ever had for a game came from going to. What's that park in Lawrence down there that has like the skateboard area in it and stuff? Now back before it had
Oh yes, I know which one you're talking about.
They had that rocket. Remember that old rocket that they had?
Yep.
Yeah, that thing. It gave me an idea for a Star Wars game, and it was like the best Star Wars game, D6 Star Wars game that I ever ran.
Talking about the one that used to be that was down where Bucky's was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know.
It's a shame that Bucky's is gone too.
Bucky's is gone. It's a barbecue place now.
Just what we need, another barbecue restaurant.
Hey, there's a really good barbecue place in Gardner right now.
Yeah, the Smokin' Joe's down the street here is great, too.
There's a place called Smokin' Babes up in Gardner.
Oh, yes. I know that place. That place good is stuff. Good. That's some
anyway,
good, that's some good stuff.
Yes, so those of you who are not in our lovely Kansas City area and do not know how awesome barbecue is. Do we have anything we need to add to this, or do we want to move on to three-parter?
I'd say we move on to the three-parter. I think we've covered fairly well. Pretty much, as long as you keep your mind open, there's nothing they can't provide creativity or resources for any sort of game that you're going to run. I mean, just go out and sit in your yard and watch the animals, like, root through your yard looking for stuff. One of the most interesting things to watch is if you own your house, go out, mow your yard, put the lawnmower away, and then sit on your porch and watch as the various animals come out looking for things in the grass. I mean, it's just very, very unusual because they don't give a rat's ass that you're sitting there on the porch. They could be 3 inches from you, and if there's something in the grass they want, they could care less that you're there. And it gives you an idea, well, maybe, you know, the adventurers stumble in this, you know, in this area where this thing's going on, and the monsters and stuff don't care because they're so focused on something that they're doing. That they have no concern that the adventurers are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the adventurers being adventurers are going to cause problems and just, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff ensues. But, yeah, just, you know, anywhere you look, you can find something.
Alrighty. Well, we will be back right after this. This podcast is brought to you by FRP Games, an online retailer specializing in all kinds of gaming products. Please visit www.forplenetwork.com in order to gain access to thousands of unique items available only at FRP Games. And we are back, and today on our three-parter, we've got a double dose of reviews. One with Nathan's going to review the old Might and Magic video games. Jeremy's going to continue his review of Amethyst Foundations, and I'm going to talk a bit about what I'm into right now. So we will kick it off with Nathan's review here in just a moment. Thank you so much for that that voicemail, John. I can't wait to be on the show again. To sort of address some of your concerns in the order that they come up in my brain, as far as films versus movies, I think it is entirely up to the in the eye of the beholder. I think my concept of what a film versus a movie is totally different. Now, I think whereas a film can also be a movie cannot also be a film, I think, or can't, if it's just exclusively a movie. It's like, oh, that's a movie, not a film. So, but if that's a film and a movie. But getting away from that, I think as far as like with Avatar, James Cameron probably thinks it's a film. I think it's a movie.
I think it's a movie too. I've watched it and I was not impressed.
It's a good movie. But that's just it. It's a good movie. You know, it's not Oscar caliber, but it's entertaining and it's a fun flick. And I'll pick it up when the special edition comes out on Blu-ray because it's a gorgeous movie.
Avatar was cool in 3D.
Yeah. I think it's cool in HD in general. I mean, it's a fun movie.
I'm not gonna buy
it. It's an old story that's just told again. You know, it's the Pocahontas story, and that's what it is. But you know, someone out there might consider it you know better than Citizen Kane, but that person's not me. And also, as far as American movie classics, American movie classics, when they started showing movies like Conan the Destroyer, they ceased to be a classics channel.
They do have some good movies
now though. Okay, back when they first started, you know, I mean, they were showing, you know, the black and white, you know, Howard Hawks types of, you know, I mean, you were to the Frank Capra movies, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life, oh, hey, look, it's Clark Gable, all that stuff. That I consider to be, those are generally films, yes, those are, you know, classic films, blah, 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 and then they started showing some other things, okay, and I switched to that channel one day, and they're showing Superman. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, Superman's came out in the 70s. I can buy that. I can buy that being an AMC American Movie Classic. I think it is a classic. It is, you know, definitely a staple. I love the original Superman movie.
And then coming up next, then, Aliens.
Then, Aliens, even I can buy that being a classic. You know, I mean, Aliens, those are all classics in their own day. You know, granted, I was upset that it was like, okay, that's from, like, you know, I was alive when that came out. But okay, anyway. And then, you know, I turn on and they're showing Army of Darkness. I'm like, okay, I love Army of Darkness.
I think it's a
cult classic. Yeah. American movie classic. Okay. I still love it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, okay, I can see some people going off on that. But then I turn it on and it was Conan the Destroyer. Not Conan the Barbarian, which I could forgive, but Conan the Destroyer, the one with Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That is not an American movie classic in any way, shape, or form. So really, once they started doing that, they ceased to be showing films and just show movies. So really, yeah, that's about where I go with that. And as far as Levelator is concerned, I've actually, I do have that. Thanks for showing that out, pointing that out to me. I had heard about it before, but I actually completely forgot about it, and I've been using it on the last few releases that we've done as far as interviews and whatnot, and I'll be using it on this episode, so we will see how great it works, you know. So, but thanks, John, for sending us a voicemail and making sure that my $2 a month is not wasted. Let's see what else we've got. We got an email from Jeffrey Wynn, who says, hey, I know it's a little late, but just wanted to say, wow, I can't believe you decided you dedicated a whole episode to my comment about Nathan's bitching. That is so cool to know that I have contributed to the show in such a meaningful way, and I don't think that Nathan is the king of bitching, however, as I have personally sat at the table with people who have bitched harder and about more stupid stuff. Since I don't think there's anyone else who actually wants the title, though, I guess he can have it. I like Bitch King would be better, since it sounds like Lich King or Witch King, but whatever.
Yeah, that sounds too cool. It can't be cool. It's got to be...
The king of bitching.
Yeah.
King of bitching. There we go. But whatever, can a bitch even be a king in the first place, since bitches are female by definition? I guess there's a first for everything. As we're using it completely in
a descriptive format,
really as a verb here, you know,
rather than as an actual connotation,
as an adverb or an adjective, I think we're good. So, I really enjoyed your interview with George R. R. Martin. I'm disappointed you didn't ask him how much he paid to have two R's surgically implanted in his name, and why won't you release the second interview already? You promised us a second interview like a year ago, and it's already finished. I think he's talking about the book. And why don't you just release it already? You owe it to your fans. At this rate, you're going to die of old age before it's released, like those other podcasters who interviewed George R. R. Martin. All right, I'm just kidding. I'm sure that wasn't funny at all. I really do enjoy listening to all your shows. I've been listening to Deadlands from the start, and it's gotten me through many long days at work, 26 days to be precise. That's a lot of days. I can tell you how great it is to listen to people roleplay their characters for hours and hours without having to get into combat or roll dice. Peace out and happy gaming. Well, thank you very much, Jeffrey. Always happy to hear from our lovely fan. Let's see what else we got. Got another voicemail. Excellent. We will hear what this one has to say.
Review.
Thank you, Trevor, and now Jeremy, be nice.
What? I appreciate him calling.
Yes. I do apologize for the audio mishaps on that. We actually had some Skype issues, whatnot, with some dropped calls. Especially with the Steve Gensen interview, but I went back and I ran all of those through Levelator, so hopefully that helped out a bit. So, PowerGramma Pro looks great, but it costs money, so I'm gonna go on using, you know, Levelator being free, and from now on, see if that works well. So we'll see, I guess.
But we appreciate the call.
Yes. Oh yeah. I'll definitely always appreciate the call. I do know who you are, Trevor. I do listen to the Monarch Comics Briefing, and incidentally, I was a guest host on the Monarch Comics Briefing last week, so...
He knows who you are.
Yes, I know who you are. I know you live in Canada.
He is right. Standing outside your window looking in right now.
I gotta say, it was great being able to talk to Steve Kenson, and I really enjoyed the interview I had with Jeff Grubb, just because he's the guy who did the Marvel Superheroes game, and that's what I started with when I was gaming, so I'm actually really looking forward to playing that at Gen Con this year. So,
oh, the new one? Fun.
No, it's the old one. I got into a game of the old Marvel Superheroes role playing game at Gen Con.
So, wow.
Let's see. Tracy Barnett, our Ohio resident, who's coming in for CanCon, sent us a little "Where Am I" thing talking about where he's at. So we'll listen to that now. What we're into. Well, today on my section of the three-parter, I'm going to talk about a bit of what I've been getting back into lately, and actually what I'm getting into lately. And I found myself being infected with the comic book bug, and so I have been buying comic books again. I know it's terrible. It's terrifying. But I have managed to pick up a few comics lately. Obviously, the new Brian Michael Bendis run on obviously the post Siege Avengers, New Avengers, Secret Avengers, and Avengers Academy, just to see basically with the downfall of the lovely Norman Osborn and the rise of the new Age of Heroes. I'm excited to see what they do. Obviously, Thor is back in the Avengers, and with I'm personally looking forward to the new Avengers book, the new Avengers book, which is sort of doing a soft reboot at number one, where the Thing is going to be a new member of the Avengers, and I'm all kind of happy about that. But I have also been catching up on my DC literature. Have had a chance to take a look at an old series called Identity Crisis. Went from there to Infinite Crisis, then to 52, and then I read Final Crisis. Countdown. DC has always sort of been one of those things where I like the characters, I don't necessarily like any of their stories type of thing. They seem to have gotten a few good writers in there, but obviously the stuff I'm reading is all, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old here and there. And the most recent thing I've read from them, that's not like new issues coming out now, is the Final Crisis, which was pretty bad. So they obviously suffer from a lot of editorial stuff, but I'm getting back into comic books. Sort of along this line is obviously the Deadlands game is going to be running its course fairly soon, and looking at what I'm going to run after that, and it's looking like it's going to be Mutants and Masterminds. So should be a lot of fun to jump back into some superheroes. I'm looking forward to that. So really, that's what I've been into lately, other than obviously having CanCon come out of my ears. So in my spare time that I do have, when I'm not shuffling through CanCon stuff, I am shuffling through comic book stuff. So not much coming at you from my end on this one, but that is what I'm into.
Paying attention now?
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking
about. Hey, Eric, we do know what we're talking about. You know, we called the whole Hugo Weaving Red Skull thing, remember?
Oh, right. Fine. Where was it? The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about all kinds of gaggles.
Aaron, could you cut it with the gaggles thing? It's not working for me.
All right. Fine. The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games. Hey,
don't forget that we talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and Christopher Lee, obviously.
Natalie Portman.
All right, guys! I'm trying to do a commercial for the Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games, tabletop gaming, all kinds of other geek stuff.
You mean that show we broadcast on Ustream?
Yes!
Wednesday, 8 Central Standard Time.
Right, at redphonezone.com. Now, can you guys just give me a minute to get this promo done?
Sure. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
All right, from the top. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone.
Aaron, we need a tiebreaker. Okay, who would win in a fight with Galactus?
Anti-Monitor.
Galactus and Anti-Monitor. Come on.
I think the more important question would be who would win in a fight between me and you two idiots.
Well, I guess we don't know what we're talking about.
Random Encounters.
Well, we are back, and we do have some random encounters to go over today. Again, we don't have a new segment from Noah, as far as Munchies for Munchkins. He's actually busy this weekend getting married, so
he's congratulations actually,
that's cool.
He has other things to deal with this weekend. So he was apologizing to me the other day about how he wasn't able to get anything done. I'm like, dude, you're getting hitched. You can you can use that as an excuse for pretty much anything these days. So,
unless you get hitched every weekend,
yeah, then that would just be kind of awkward to think you're a Mormon or something. But we have a few voicemails here and there, mainly nothing really huge on them, but some of them talking about some technical aspects of the podcast, which I have since addressed. But I will talk about those here as they come up. I will go down to the bottom of the list now and see what we get. And it looks to be a lovely voicemail. Now, I think this is a voicemail from John over at the Tome Show. Or not the Tome Show, excuse me. John over at the Chronic Rift podcast, which I've guest spotted on a few times now. And he is a listener of the show. And he had a few things to say.
Ethan, gentlemen, it's John from the Chronic Rift podcast. Just listening to the most recent episode in which, during the rant, you guys were talking about movies versus films and how we need to make distinctions on that when it comes to criticism. Now, I was a little concerned. I mean, first of all, that sort of then puts American movie classics in a very pale light there, because then they're only just showing movies and no real films. And then are they really classics? But that's besides the point. I think what really concerns me about your comment is that where now you were listing Avatar as a movie, I think that James Cameron might actually beg to differ on there. He might actually look at it more as a film. On the other hand, I love me some Roger Corman Fantastic Four. For me, it's a film. I see more to that film, movie, than most others would, who would knock it and insult it. I really think, bottom line, it just really comes down to each his own. When it comes to critics like Roger Ebert and such, while I will read and consider their words, ultimately, when it comes to seeing a movie or a film, however you wish to classify it, you're going because there's something there that strikes a chord with you. For instance, Iron Man 2. I will go see it because I am a huge Iron Man fan, despite, you know, the commentary from various people about how it's not as good. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't even good at all, for all we know. But I'd rather go see for myself and not listen to such criticisms until I've seen it for myself. Anyway, just my two cents. Just one quick thing I just wanted to throw in to make a suggestion for you to make the podcast a little better. I don't know if you're familiar with a program called The Listener. After you've recorded your episode, if you run the entire program through the levelator, it will even out the highs and the lows in your recording, because I happen to notice that Jeremy sounds very close to the mic. Not Jeremy, I'm sorry. Jeremy sounds very far away from the mic, while Ethan sounds closer. If you run it through the levelator, it even out the sound so that you don't need to feel like you're turning up or turning down the volume from time to time. I've been using it now for the last, I'd say, 6 to 8 months on the Chronic Rift, and it is a miracle godsend. It is a free program. I can't remember exactly. It's with the Conversions Network, it's called. But just look up Levelator on Google, and you'll be directed there. Fantastic program. Anyway, keep up the good work, gentlemen, and I will be talking to you soon. Take care.
Thank you so much for that that voicemail, John. I can't wait to be on the show again. To answer, to sort of address some of your concerns in the order that they come up in my brain, as far as films versus movies, yeah, I think it is entirely up to the in the eye of the beholder. I think my concept of what a film versus a movie is totally different. Now, I think whereas a film can also be a movie cannot also be a film, I think, or can't if it's just exclusively a movie. It's like, oh, that's a movie, not a film. So, but if that's a film and a movie. But getting away from that, I think as far as like with Avatar, yeah, James Cameron probably thinks it's a film. I think it's a movie.
I think it's a movie too. I've watched it and I was not impressed.
It's a good movie. But that's just it. It's a good movie. You know, it's not Oscar caliber, but it's entertaining and it's a fun flick. And I'll pick it up when the special edition comes out on Blu-ray because it's a gorgeous movie.
Avatar was cool in 3D.
Yeah. I think it's cool in HD in general. I mean, it's a fun movie.
I'm not gonna buy
it. It's an old story that's just told again. You know, it's the Pocahontas story, and that's what it is. But you know, someone out there might consider it you know better than Citizen Kane, but that person's not me. And also, as far as American movie classics, American movie classics, when they started showing movies like Conan the Destroyer, they ceased to be a classics channel.
They do have some good movies
now though. Okay, back when they first started, you know, I mean, they were showing, you know, the black and white, you know, Howard Hawks types of, you know, I mean, you were to the Frank Capra movies, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, hey, look, it's Clark Gable, all that stuff. That I consider to be, those are generally films. Yes, those are, you know, classic films, blah, blah, blah. And then they started showing some other things. Okay, and I switched to that channel one day, and they're showing Superman. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, Superman's came out in the 70s. I can buy that. I can buy that being an AMC American Movie Classic. I think it is a classic. It is, you know, definitely a staple. I love the original Superman movie.
And then coming up next, then, Aliens.
Then, Aliens, even I can buy that being a classic. You know, I mean, Aliens, those are all classics in their own day. You know, granted, I was upset that it was like, okay, that's from, like, you know, I was alive when that came out. But okay, anyway. And then, you know, I turn on and they're showing Army of Darkness. I'm like, okay, I love Army of Darkness.
I think it's a
cult classic. Yeah. American movie classic. Okay. I still love it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, okay, I can see some people going off on that. But then I turn it on and it was Conan the Destroyer. Not Conan the Barbarian, which I could forgive, but Conan the Destroyer, the one with Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That is not an American movie classic in any way, shape, or form. So really, once they started doing that, they ceased to be showing films and just show movies. So really, yeah, that's about where I go with that. And as far as Levelator is concerned, I've actually, I do have that. Thanks for showing that out, pointing that out to me. I had heard about it before, but I actually completely forgot about it. And I've been using it on the last few releases that we've done as far as interviews and whatnot, and I'll be using it on this episode, so we will see how great it works, you know. So but thanks, John, for sending us a voicemail and making sure that my $2 a month is not wasted. Let's see what else we've got. We got an email from Jeffrey Wynn, who says, hey, I know it's a little late, but just wanted to say, wow, I can't believe you decided, you dedicated a whole episode to my comment about Nathan's bitching. That is so cool to know that I have contributed to the show in such a meaningful way, and I don't think that Nathan is the king of bitching, however, as I have personally sat at the table with people who have bitched harder and about more stupid stuff. Since I don't think there's anyone else who actually wants the title, though, I guess he can have it. I like Bitch King would be better, since it sounds like Lich King or Witch King, but whatever.
Yeah, that sounds too cool. It can't be cool. It's gotta be
the king of bitching.
Yeah.
King of bitching. There we go. But whatever. Can a bitch even be a king in the first place, since bitches are female by definition? I guess there's a first for everything. As we're using it completely in
a descriptive format,
really as a verb here, you know,
rather than as an actual connotation,
as an adverb or an adjective, I think we're good. So, I really enjoyed your interview with George R. R. Martin. I'm disappointed you didn't ask him how much he paid to have two R's surgically implanted in his name, and why won't you release the second interview already? You promised us a second interview like a year ago, and it's already finished. I think he's talking about the book. And why don't you just release it already? You owe it to your fans. At this rate, you're going to die of old age before it's released. Like those other podcasters who interviewed George R. R. Martin. All right, I'm just kidding. I'm sure that wasn't funny at all. I really do enjoy listening to all your shows. I've been listening to Deadlands from the start, and it's gotten me through many long days at work, 26 days to be precise. That's a lot of days. I can tell you how great it is to listen to people roleplay their characters for hours and hours without having to get into combat or roll dice. Peace out and happy gaming. Well, thank you very much, Jeffrey. Always happy to hear from our lovely fan. Let's see what else we got. Got another voicemail. Excellent. We will hear what this one has to say.
Hello, Ethan. It's Trevor Chapman calling. You might know me as a co-host of Fragments from the Rim or Monarch's Comic Briefing. I was listening to your excellent interviews with Steve Kenson and Jeff Grubb, and I noticed that there was some disparity between the audio quality of yourself and the audio quality of the guest, such that in one interview the guest was rather quiet and you were pretty loud, and vice versa for the other interview. I was listening to it on my way home in the car, and basically it was I either would have to strain to listen to you if I didn't want the other person to be too loud, or vice versa, or I had to turn it up and just suffer it. So I'm wondering, if you're using Skype as your communication method to the other end of the equation, might I be so bold as to suggest that you check out a program called PowerGramo, specifically PowerGramo Pro? It can be found at www.powergramo.com. And the reason I say that is because I use this for my Fragments podcast, and it has a wonderful thing that in the post, when you're basically extracting it to the MP3, you can adjust the audio levels for the two different components of a Skype call. So you can adjust your local component and the guest Skype component individually, so you can therefore make certain that the audio qualities are closer together. And the other thing it nicely has as well is that it has the ability in the post, when you're extracting it at MP3, you can attach an MP3 to the pre-roll and an MP3 to the post-roll, and it'll just throw them all together in one seamless file. I find it quite useful to use for my Fragments, and especially when I'm dealing with a Skype call and the other end of the Skype call isn't necessarily loud or have great audio quality or audio strength. And sometimes you can't tell that in the actual phone call itself. You don't realize it until post, and that's where PowerGramo is nice. So again, forgive me if I'm overstepping my bounds. It's just a suggestion to make your really good podcast even better. I tried to send this to you in your contact us form on your Gamers Haven podcast site, but unfortunately, no matter how hard I tried, the CAPTCHA code wouldn't be accepted. I even ran the audio component to verify that I was entering what I thought was the right CAPTCHA code. I tried about a dozen of them and finally gave up and just decided to call you instead. So if you want to get back to me about this or anything, you can email me at ratnef, R-A-T-E-N-E-F, at Rogers, rogers.com. And again, thank you very much for the great interviews. It was really nice. I'm a big fan of both Mr. Grubb and Mr. Kenson, not specifically for Marvel superheroes or superhero stuff in general. I'm actually a big fan of Jeff Grubb because of his stuff in The Forgotten Realms and Ravenloft. And I'm a fan of Steve Kenson primarily because of what he did in the Shadowrun role-playing game, which is one of my favorites. Anyways, thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Trevor. And now, Jeremy, be nice.
What? I appreciate him calling.
Yes. I do apologize for the audio mishaps on that. We actually had some Skype issues, whatnot, with some dropped calls, especially with the Steve Kenson interview. But I went back and I ran all of those through Levelator, so hopefully that helped out a bit. So And Power Grammar Pro looks great, but it costs money. So I'm going to go on using, you know, Levelator being free and from now on see if that works well. So we'll see, I guess.
But we appreciate the call.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely always appreciate the call. I do know who you are, Trevor. I do listen to the Monarch Comics Briefing, and incidentally, I was a guest host on the Monarch Comics Briefing last week, so...
He knows who you are.
Yes, I know who you are. I know you live in Canada.
He is right. Standing outside your window looking in right now.
I gotta say, it was great being able to talk to Steve Kenson, and I really enjoyed the interview I had with Jeff Grubb, just because he's the guy who did the Marvel Superheroes game, and that's... what I started with when I was gaming, so I'm actually really looking forward to playing that at Gen Con this year. So,
oh, the new one? Fun.
No, it's the old one. I got into a game of the old Marvel Superheroes role playing game at Gen Con.
So, wow.
Let's see. Tracy Barnett, our Ohio resident, who's coming in for CanCon, sent us a little "Where Am I" thing, talking about where he's at. So we'll listen to that now.
Where am I?
Excellent,
Tracy Barnett.
We don't know where you are, Tracy. Anywhere. I know this is actually for the. One of our promos that we threw together,
we have promos.
We have
contests.
We have six promos.
We have six promos.
You know, we've done two ourselves, and we've had four come in from fans for us already. So, and those fans have received some free PDFs from DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. Which is a good thing I should actually mention. We are now actually, not only are we an affiliate with them, but we're part of their podcaster program, and every month we're going to be able to basically let you know about basically we'll be able to give out free some free PDFs to listeners and whatnot.
Woohoo, flag. Unfortunately,
and of course, this is a lot of stuff I'm thinking is probably going to be more delegated towards the forums. So if you want a chance at free stuff, go to the forums and whatnot. Let's see. I'll let you know what the just because our faithful listeners are listening to us. You can actually from between now and let's see. Until the end of this month, until the end of June, you can use this code to get 20% off all products from Alderac Entertainment Group, Bards and Sages, Battlefield Press, Chaotic Shiny Productions, Crafty Games, Cubicle 7, Dream Pod 9, Fable Environments, Fat Dragon Games, Goodman Games, Inner City Games Designs, Mongoose Publishing, Palladium Books, Pinnacle Entertainment, Artal Saurian Games, Ranger Games, Reality Blurs, and Seeptune Games. If you just put in the code JunePodBlogDriveThrough2010, then you will get 20% off all of the items from those publishers. If you want that code, just go ahead and shoot me an email, and I will send you the code. If this gets out in July, I should have a new code next month. So, but that is the code for free stuff. This apparently Jeremy wants the code, and he's just instant messaged me that he wants the code. So, I will ignore Jeremy entirely. So, let's see. Got another email from, I'm going to mute you now, Jeremy. I know you know where I live. I know where you live, Jeremy. I have keys to your house. All right. We got an email from Gary the Pagan. Remember the Pagan?
Eighth Pagan.
We got Eighth Pagan. Gary. Hi, I've been just listening to interview 16 with Secret Skeleton Miniatures, and I work in the UK Postal Service. And I'm amazed that anything fragile reaches its destination intact. Damage is not all down to malicious intent from postmen, and we don't play football, soccer for you colonials, with the parcels.
It's football. It's not soccer. I won't even call it soccer.
Mail is transported in large sacks that you can't see through, so there's no way to know if anything fragile is present. In an ideal world, the assumption would be that fragile goods are contained, and so you treat the contents with respect. But we don't live in an ideal world, and the pressure is on us to be fast, which means packages are thrown, dropped, and unceremoniously dumped in vans that have no nice soft padding to protect the contents. I receive parcels too and dread the arrival of anything fragile. And I've had parcels that have been opened in transit before and things have been pilfered. With regards to import charges, I got a hell of a surprise a few years back when I ordered a statue from the United States. The statue cost me about £100, including shipping. That's £100 British Sterling, of course.
So about $165.
Yes. The parcel arrived intact from UPS, and a few days later, I got a customs invoice from UPS. They had paid the customs charges for me, and now I had to pay them. I was not happy to find that the charges added another £60 to the cost of the item.
Jeez.
For that reason, I no longer import goods, which means I miss out on some cool stuff. On the bright side, I went to UK Games Expo recently. It's not Gen Con Indy, not by a long stretch, but I picked up some incredible bargains from a store that was offloading old stock and damaged goods. I may not use it all, but when they're selling books from £1 each, you just have to buy. The three hardbacks and three softbacks for £7.50. And they had the Rogue Trader rules for £20, which are normally £35, with head damage cover, but I can cope with that. Bye. Oh,
those are 60, heavy.
60 extra pounds.
60 pounds.
That's a lot of pounds.
Two-thirds of the cost of the actual
thing. A lot of poundage
thing.
There. That's,
Man.
British pound sterling are, Jeremy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever imported anything from another country and had to pay an import tariff?
No.
I have. I bought a $135 video card and I ended up paying another $95 for the import costs.
I do know you don't order Legos from China.
No, really?
Because you get lead ones or you get fake ones? Or both?
I've never thrown out a Lego set before.
Except for these.
Except for this.
That bad.
Okay, do tell.
Pissed. Well, he didn't say it was from freaking China. It was Legos of the Rising Sun or some crap like that. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And they were, I think they were official Legos. But they must have been made in state. Like in...
In
the red state. It's not like China's going to hear any of this. They don't freaking...
Actually, we get a lot of downloads in China.
Well, good! Do something about your Legos! Well, and your democracy and all that.
It's not democracy, it's communism.
Right.
If you are from China and understand what we're saying, please email us, obviously.
Don't hack us.
Well, you know.
Ooh, but gold farming.
Moving on, alrighty.
Maybe we can get involved in
it. We got an email from Zach with a K who says, are you guys thinking of giving either of these two systems a go? I had a
Real
blast.
Quick.
What?
Backed with 8th Pagan. So if he sent us pounds, which really is money, American money.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they came up with this weird pounds, because that's not money. That's a, you know, weight. But anyway, if he sent us money to order stuff for him, would he still have to pay all of those taxes with his pounds?
Yes, he would. The reason for that being is when you actually ship the item over there, you
have
to fill out...
He's a pagan!
Doesn't matter.
He was his magic! He killed all the other pagans!
There was at least one that he didn't kill.
Due to the fact that I actually ship a lot of items across the ocean, because I've been selling a lot of Amiga stuff to make ends meet for people, I ship a lot of things to Europe. When you actually ship it, you actually have to fill out a customs declaration form. And when you fill that out, they have to pay a customs fee off the worth of the item on the customs declaration. Now, the problem is you want to give them a good deal, and you want to put on the for not as much as what they pay for it, but the problem is if you want to insure it, you can't insure it for more than what the customs declaration is. So if it's a $250 video card, and you ship it to them at $250, they're going to end up paying $250 equivalent in custom fees.
Aren't there some empty, like, I don't know, crates on these ships that come across the sea?
Actually,
I mean, they smuggle people in them. We could put miniatures in them.
I have an idea.
Does it involve smuggling people in miniatures? Because no. Really?
No. I'm gonna create watertight packaging, and I'm gonna create courier dolphins.
Hey, dolphins are smart.
Genetically engineer courier dolphins between two spots. Load a package on their back, ship them across the ocean.
Actually, this is something cool, which has something to do with shipping. Zeppelins. Good old Zeppelins. You know, the exploding hydrogen ones?
Yep, yep.
Well, okay, they're not building them with hydrogen anymore.
Of course
they're
not.
They're building them with helium.
Yes.
And they're actually thinking about, you can ship so much crap with these things because all you have to do is build them bigger.
Uh-huh.
So if you want a ton, you build one that can carry a ton. If you want to carry 500 tons. So really, if we could get some people to send us some startup money, we could have a Gamers Haven Zeppelin, and then we could ship stuff.
All right, we'll put that up on Kickstarter, okay?
But in the meantime, he's going to have to smuggle the miniatures in the people
you
in
crunch,
the crates.
Crunch the numbers, see how much we need for that, and we'll put it up on Kickstarter.
That actually would be kind of cool to actually have a Zeppelin.
I have room in my backyard to build one.
We'll have the Gamers Haven Zeppelin. Yes. You can deal with the FAA.
They have to catch us first.
They're very good
uh-huh.
at that.
We do realize there's an FAA building here in Kansas City, right?
We will escape.
Okay. I'm going to go...
Not really sure how what the speed is.
On to the next email. All right. They take a long time, Jeremy. All right. We got an email from Zach about Shadowrun or Cyberpunk 2020. He said, are you guys thinking of giving either of these two systems a go? I had a blast playing them a while ago and love to see it done by you. Keep up all the great work, Zach. We have done a Shadowrun thing for CantCon last year, and I think we've all played in Cyberpunk one time or another.
Once.
I've done it a few times. I know, Jeremy, you've probably done it several at this point. And obviously, I wouldn't be object to Shadowrun. Apparently, they go 70 kilometers per hour. Jeremy has just let me know here. Okay, thank you, Jeremy. I'm sure our listeners all are bettered for that. You know, can we use Zeppelins as sources of inspiration? But, you know, I don't have any plans of running a Shadowrun or a Cyberpunk game.
Nor do I.
But they are cool games. I have no problems with them. Maybe in the future. I wouldn't rule it out, but we have played them in the past, so.
We have a lot of other stuff on our plate.
We have a lot of other stuff that we want to play,
right.
Quite frankly. So, play and run, you know. So, we're all kind of...
But
we're old men, and we're all, you know, wanting to...
I wouldn't mind Cyberpunk. I have the old school Cyberpunk.
Alrighty. I also got an email. Not that email. I got an email.
Is that email only for you, Ethan?
It is for me. Although I just got spam from someone called Horny Whisper.
Horny Whisper.
Oh,
man, that
wow.
Sounds just as bad as it probably is.
Let's see. I have a late announcement for CantCon, and this just went up, is on Saturday at CantCon, to be the July 10th at, of course, Johnson County Community College Regner Center, there is going to be a local group called Frost Reaver at frostreaver.net is going to be running a Warhammer 40K team tournament that will have 8 teams running for obvious various prizes and whatnot. You can visit their website, frostreaver.net, for some more information once they get it posted. I think by the time this goes up, it should be up there. But we're just finalizing sort of the logistics about it. You do have to pay to get into Gen Con, or God, I keep wanting to do that. You have to pay to get into CantCon, of course, and if you just want a day pass for the Saturday event, if you just want to do the 40K thing, you can come in for Saturdays for $10 if you pre-register. If you don't pre-register, it's going to be $12 at the door. And they are charging an extra, Frost Reaver is charging an extra $5 for a tournament fee to cover their costs. So if people are out there who are interested in playing some 40K, head on out to CantCon, of course. You could come all 3 days and try to get in on any other games that are going on as well. There's lots happening. So,
are they painted minis? Or
I don't know the specifics yet. It's a 40K thing, so I mean, they're... The check out frostreaver.net once they get that stuff posted. I know as of right now they don't have anything on there, but by the time this goes out they probably will. So that is it as far as the emails that I've got to talk about. Let's see, one more actually. I got one from our friend Jimmy Fletcher actually. Said, I've never been able to find a D&D campaign I can jump on. Do you know any software platforms or whatever available for a single-player campaign? Not typical computer games like Neverwinter Nights, but there are custom tools created by players for doing D&D campaigns online. Not that I can remember any of them off the top of my head. Regardless, have you ever heard of anything? We have. There is a. Oh gosh, what is the name of that program? There is one, and it's actually talked a bit about on our forums a little bit, and its name escapes me. And I know Saylin will yell and scream at me because it's the one she's got.
Oh yeah, there I have a demo someplace.
Yeah, right? It's
once I deleted it.
But there are there used to be one web RPG, but I'm not sure if they're around anymore.
Fantasy Grounds,
thank you. And you can actually get cheaper licenses of that. But Fantasy Grounds is probably one of the best ones I've heard of, at least. There is that. Other than that, you know, it's various places online you can go try out. Really, I'd hit EN World to look around.
So he's not wanting, like, video games at all? Because, I mean, the D&D online game is free.
Mm-hmm.
He could play that. It's not bad.
Yeah, let's see. But it's... James M. Jimmy Fletcher. I think this is our friend Jimmy.
Oh, like Jimmy.
Yeah.
You
guys come over and play Talisman Jimmy. A few times. I think this is the same guy.
If it's Jimmy that we know, then hey. If it's not, well,
yeah.
Hey.
So, yeah. So, here we go. if it is our Jimmy, you know, we'll get in touch with you, man. But if it's not our Jimmy, then, you know, go check those places out. So we will see. And that is it as far as all the emails and random encounters I've got.
I thought we had a lot. I think
you wanted to talk about some crazy genetic site that you were talking
about. No, it's too horrifying to talk about.
No, I'm going to talk about it because Jeremy won't talk about it. It's called GenPets, GenPets. Now, welcome to the world of biogenic, genetic engineering and manufacturing. Say hello to the all-new GenPets, mass-produced bioengineered pets implemented today. Allergen-free, child-safe, low-maintenance, and life-perfected. There's a lot of various different stuff on this website. I recommend that anybody who's curious about what I'm talking about go check it out.
It's horrifying!
Well, Jeremy thinks it's horrifying. Well, the thing that I find horrifying is the fact that I'm repulsed and intrigued at the same time. These things are scary looking, but at the same time, I want to see one running around, you know, not stuck inside the packaging.
They don't run. They crawl or scoot.
Yeah. Well, I still want to see one crawling and scooting around.
I don't.
I do.
It's horrifying.
But yeah, it's... just to give you guys a heads up, it's not real. Don't freak out too much.
Yeah, it doesn't say that on the site anywhere.
No, it won't say that anywhere on the site. The site is designed, this is based off some work that was done by an industrial artist. I cannot remember his name. He's from Canada. And he did it as a question to people to make them think about genetic engineering or bioengineering. This sort of thing is not actually, you know, capable of happening
that
yet.
We know of.
Yet, that we know of. This is something that we probably should be looking forward to. Probably this is something we're going to see in the future, because we always know capitalism will always override ethics. It's going to happen. So when they realize they can make money off of genetically engineering something that'll live for a very short period of time, so you have to continuously keep buying replacements, they're going to do something like this, because it'll be a cash cow form.
And they need to be shut down.
Yeah. Capitalism is one of those things that I just... It's not the best system, but it's the only system we have right now that works effectively until we can find a replacement.
Well, they followed the ethics and...
But anyways, check out the site. It's very unusual. It is a bit disturbing. it's really... It freaked out my wife. It apparently bothers Jeremy a lot.
They're hairless little demon things. Yeah. You wake up in the middle of the night, it's like, hello.
You do realize that you're supposed to put them back inside the package when you go to bed, right?
I'm here to murder you. I mean, hug me.
The only problem that I have with it, I'm repulsed by the fact that, you know, someone would actually think of something like this, and eventually someone will. But the thing is what bothers me the most is the fact that, as is typical for a company looking to get repeat business, they do planned obsolescence via the fact that they limit the lifespan of these poor little things. So if these things were real, you could buy either a one-year model that lasts for a year. Right. So when you finally start to get to attach to it and you actually start caring for this thing, it dies. Or the three-year model. So you get to know it even better. So when it dies, it leaves you heartbroken and desolate. Yes, don't you love
desolation.
Capitalism? But check it out. They're very interesting.
They just get a cat.
Get a cat if you really want an animal. Gym pets have limited mobility, like dolls, puppies, or human babies. They must be looked after and cared for. Upon walking from its dormant state, the gym pet will immediately bond or imprint to your child.
Will immediately eat your child.
So yeah, check out the website.
They have a teeth removal thing you can buy, so you don't, in case it's going to bite you, you can be like, no, yank, pulled out your teeth. Psychos.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it really is a commentary on the whole idea of genetic engineering,
on the psychos.
But what should really scare you is the fact, if you look at the forums, there are tons of people that are going, where can I buy one of these?
Mm-hmm. That's because people is dumb.
Well, the question that should be asked is, are people so brainwashed that they're willing to buy anything that the media tells them to?
Yes.
That's bad. But I digress. Check out the website, guys. It's strange and unusual.
Well, unless you guys have anything else, nope. I think that's the end of the show, end of the episode for lovely things. I don't know what we're going to be doing on our when we get back. Our next episode might actually be the CantCon
episode.
It might be live from CantCon, so we'll see. For those of our fans that can't make it to CantCon, obviously, if you hit CantCon.com, I should have a Ustream channel set up on there for the CantCon confessional, which people will be able to basically go in and watch stuff going on at CantCon while the con is going on. So, also the on Sunday night, I believe I said it was starting at about 7 p.m. Central Time, is going to be on Sunday night, July 11th, at 7 p.m. Central, will be the CantCon, the Gamers Haven CantCon podcast retrospective and award ceremony. So, and that will be recorded, obviously, and also streamed over Ustream as well, so people can watch and you know, heckle us and whatnot. So,
I have one more thing. To anybody out there who knows, who may know of, or possibly even know this gentleman, I've been watching a show on YouTube called Matt Chat, which is reviews of classic vintage video games, most of them role-playing games, by a gentleman who's a professor at a university in, I believe it's Minnesota, by the name of Matt Barton. I've tried sending him a message, and I don't know if I sent it through the right place. I sent it through YouTube, because I think it would be interesting to interview him. He wrote a book called Dungeons and Desktops, which is a a piece of work that tracks the timeline of basically computer role playing games from the start all the way up to contemporary times and various different information on them. And I'm curious to get a copy of the book, but I'm having problems with Amazon not wanting to take my card. So I'm going to get that figured out, because I'd really like to interview him and get his take on, you know, role-playing games and, you know, computer role-playing games over the years. He seems to be very intelligent, but I can't seem to get a hold of him. So if anybody knows of this gentleman, or actually knows this gentleman, or knows how to contact this gentleman in a way that I might actually be able to get a hold of him, I would greatly appreciate it. And it seems that I can contact the people in Armchair Arcade, which is a website he set up. But if anybody knows for certain that that'll work, please let me know, because I would really like to contact Mr. Matt Barton, because I think it would be very interesting to have an interview with him, because he seems to have a lot of resources and knowledge behind him. And I'd like to tap into it and maybe create a very interesting interview for our listeners. So that's all I have to say.
All righty. Well, thank you for listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. Don't forget to hit our website, gamershavenpodcast.com. You can register on the site and leave comments, send us emails, hit our forums, and start up some chats. So in the meantime, until our next episode, which will most likely be CantCon, enjoy the summertime, and keep listening to our interviews. I have been doing about a bajillion of them this last week, so just sort of stockpiling for all that. So expect a interview with the most recent one that I put out is with Chris Premis, from the owner of Green Ronin Publishing. So otherwise, we'll catch you guys later.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.